This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. A Wisconsin Supreme Court decision in 2012 has complicated the way people with severe dementia are able to be cared for outside of the home. While the state of Wisconsin's Department of Health Services is working on the issue, it's becoming enough of a problem in the La Crosse area that a community conversation is planned for later this month. It's designed to talk about what can be done to help people with dementia and their families who are seeing fewer options. Our guest is Lakeview Health Center Administrator Wanda Placecki, who's organizing the event. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis asked her to talk about the Supreme Court decision and the effect it's had on dementia care.
The Supreme Court came out with a decision, the Helen EF decision, that primarily said that a person that has a dementia diagnosis without a co-occurring mental illness cannot be served in an institutional setting under what's called a Chapter 51. And that's because dementia typically is not considered to be a treatable illness. And so because of that, Chapter 51, they believe, did not provide the mechanism to provide the services that were needed. They do have, there's another statute called the Chapter 55 that they felt would provide for enough provisions under their emergency protective placement provisions to better serve those individuals. They weren't saying that the individuals didn't need emergency services. They were just saying that the way that the state of Wisconsin had typically looked at it in the past was not appropriate anymore. And primarily they did that, I believe, for a couple of reasons, but mostly it's because under the Chapter 55 there are more provisions that protect an individual's right. So they didn't want to make sure that they wanted to make sure that the person had all of those provisions in place, that if they were if they did require that emergency protective placement, that there would be enough rights and provisions in place for protections for them.
Before we go on, could you kind of define what Chapter 51 is versus Chapter 55?
Chapter 51 is typically a statute that's used to provide for services for a person that has more mental health diagnoses. So a Chapter 55 is really part of that protective placement and that provision for people with that maybe are not able to, that are not competent, that aren't able to take care of themselves. Under Chapter 51, they may or may not be competent to make their own decisions, but they are not making good decisions. They have a treatable illness, and so that provision allows them to receive services that they may not want, but that they need. Under the Chapter 55, it's more of that long-term type of service, so a person needs those protective placement types of services because perhaps they are not competent to make them.
So the Supreme Court decision essentially made it a little easier for courts to determine that people with severe Alzheimer's are now Chapter 51?
No, they would be a Chapter 55.
Chapter 55, mm-hmm.
Correct.
What impact has the decision had on Alzheimer's care in Wisconsin?
I think initially people were concerned that across the state that would then prohibit facilities from accepting them under those emergency protective placements because we don't really have those types of facilities. Now, under the statute, every county is required to designate an emergency protective placement facility. Most counties have not. Most counties typically in the past have used hospital settings, those psych units that they maybe are using as an emergency under the Chapter 51 setting, but that really doesn't always work for a person with dementia that doesn't have a co-occurring mental illness. So even though there's a provision in the law that says every county must have one of these, the reality is most do not. And La Crosse County and the surrounding counties typically have used both hospital psych units in the past to provide those types of services. Once they really weren't an option, then they did not have another good option. And part of that is because under the emergency protective placement designation, you have to be able to rule out any medical causes of the behavior or that symptom at the same time, and you have to be able to obtain all of the legal interventions. So you have to be able to get the psych evals, the medical evaluations, all of those things, and then provide for that emergency services at any time of the day or night. And that really doesn't fit very well in other types of settings.
Is Lakeview in West Salem designated by the courts at all?
No, we are a regional facility that has a very long history of providing services to people with challenging behavioral symptoms, but we have not been designated as an emergency protective placement facility at this time.
Is that something you would welcome?
We are interested in looking at that, but part of it is us trying to figure out how we would rule out the medical pieces of that. We can do parts of that, but we can't do it all. It would take more of a community kind of discussion and figuring out how we're going to do that as a community. But yes, we are potentially could be one of those sites.
I assume you have some challenging Alzheimer's patients. Mm-hmm. At Lakeview, correct? How do you deal with them right now?
Well, we have always taken care of people with challenging behavioral symptoms. And I would say that almost all of our residents could meet that designation. We typically have been able to take care of people in a variety of ways, but for us, it starts with training for our staff. So our staff do receive specialized training that's provided for by our social workers. We also have specially trained staff that we call qualified mental health professionals that we can provide an extra layer of behavioral support. Because we are a county facility and actually work with 13 member counties, we do also have access to other types of support through a mobile crisis at the County Human Services. We've got access, I think, greater access to some of the resources within the community. So we do many things, but part of it starts, again, with that staff training. We also do a very good assessment with our residents so that we have a good understanding. The better we get to know that person and who they are, we can figure out why maybe some causes for that behavior. We look at behavior as typically it's communication and it's trying to figure out what that unmet need is, whether or not it's pain, whether or not it's fear, whether or not it's I just don't know what's going on and so you need to help me figure this out. We understand that behavior is not personal. It is really trying to identify what that unmet need is and then giving that person what they need prior to that behavior getting out of hand or becoming dangerous.
So what have the last 2 years meant for the care of people with dementia?
For us, the challenge has been in the past, we've been able to accept people that have challenging behaviors, knowing that if they would become unsafe in our environment, which is still licensed as a nursing home, that there would be options for them for short-term placement. So we knew that if we needed to, they could maybe go into the hospital for some more intense medication adjustments. They could go to another regional type of facility, and there are several around the state that are considered to be geropsych units. We could have sent them there. We could have gotten those resources and then had them come back to our facility a little more stable. Now, because of that Helen EF, we really are not able to do that. There aren't really those places that will accept them. So once an individual comes into our facility, they are ours. And that can be I would say scary for us as a facility because at some point they may not be safe in our facility and we need to have options for them to get the care that's most appropriate at that time.
What has the impact been on families in the La Crosse area?
I think the unintended impact has been that families are struggling to meet those needs. They want to keep their family member home as long as possible. So typically, they don't even consider other placement until there's a lot going on, especially in the area of those behavioral symptoms. And when I'm looking at behavioral symptoms, we really talk about a lot of different types of behaviors. They could be things like aggression, physical aggression. They could be things like yelling out. They could be things like sundowning behaviors where a person gets more confused into the late afternoon, early evenings. But they might be just things like refusing to take their medications or just not being willing, maybe hoarding behaviors, those types of things, confabulation, where they are talking about things that are really not true, but they are true in their reality. And families really are struggled. They don't have the expertise in it. They see the changes in their family member. It's very personally distressing, and sometimes it's not safe for the individual. But now they can't just go to the hospital. They can't just call us up. You know, there's more of a process now. And so I think for them, it means they've been struggling silently for a lot longer period of time now.
It's hard to talk about healthcare and just generalize about it. Could you give us an anecdote or two that you've seen the last couple of years? And please keep names out of it. But just in general terms, what types of stories are people going through?
Well, I think I have heard more stories coming to us at the time of a referral for a resident. So people that are not our residents, but that we're getting calls from the hospital, and we're taking a look at that individual, and we're saying they seem to be too acute for us at this time, but they're sitting on a medical floor, or they've come in after a fall maybe from another facility, and that facility can't take them back. And now they've been at the hospital for 30 days, 60 days, 100 days. Sometimes I think I can think of an individual who actually did go home. The family took him home. And, you know, that didn't work out. That was not very safe. So they ended up, because we have two hospital systems, they ended up at the other facility. And that then again became another process. And we took a look for a long time. We would go visit that person. We would always make sure we had updated notes. But because of this fear that we wouldn't be able to care for that person over the long haul and over that long term, we weren't comfortable in accepting that person for admission. And so that person, that individual, had a long period of time in a medical facility before they were able to get to a nursing home. And that's not a very positive experience for anyone. Certainly the hospitals are not your home. They are not where people are expecting to go for long periods of time. So that is one. But I think I can think of other phone calls that we've had from family members saying, I'm not sure what I need to do. Do you know of places that we could look at? Are there places in the area? So we've had more and more of those types of phone calls. We have also been asked by other facilities that have struggled now. Typically, other more traditional nursing homes, if they've needed to, they've been able to look at a discharge and an admission to another more appropriate setting. That doesn't always work. So we've actually sent our staff out into other facilities and other places to help, you know, kind of with that education and training and support as well we can. Families are struggling. I think other facilities are struggling. We are struggling in order to provide that kind of safe care, which oftentimes means one-to-one enhanced supervision, where you might be one staff person with a resident. That's not very cost effective. And many times it's not what the resident wants. I would not appreciate having somebody with me all the time, 100% of the time, and these individuals do not also.
What level of care does someone with really severe dementia need?
Oftentimes, as a person moves through those stages of dementia, what they need are people who really know them, who know what triggers might be out there, ways to intervene prior to those things happening. So they need someone who knows them well, who has a passion for working with those people. And sometimes it's someone who's present. So it's not typically for us, when we're looking at an enhanced supervision, they're not necessarily nurses. They may not be social workers. They are not people that are trained at that level. But they are people that have that extra training and have this knowledge of the residents. So we typically use people, we would use our CNAs, so our certified staff at that level, but it's meaning we need a lot of them. And right now, that's not the case in the La Crosse community. It's difficult to find even that level of staff to provide 24-hour care in that area.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking with Lakeview Healthcare Administrator Wanda Blachecki about the difficulty in Wisconsin placing some people with dementia in facilities outside the home. What is this meant for healthcare institutions in the La Crosse area, the two we have?
Well, I think if you asked them, and we will be talking about this on the 26th at our community conversation, but I think if you asked them, it would mean that they are being asked to provide a type of care that they're not equipped to provide. It's not acute medical care. It is more of that long-term services. And the hospitals, that's not what they're designed to do. And so I think that that's probably one of their challenges, as well as for all of us, it's that how are we getting paid for this? Because if that person does not require that acute medical, or if they don't require services for a nursing home, what is that level of reimbursement, and is it adequate to cover the cost of that service? So I think typically it's knowing that the person is in a setting that they don't need, and that those staff are not equipped to provide. I think that's been the challenge. But I have seen, at least anecdotally, sometimes 4, 5, and 6 individuals with dementia without a co-occurring mental illness that might be in the hospital settings at one time. That's a challenge for the system.
And once again, the hospitals are being asked to become long-term providers. Why?
Because there isn't an appropriate placement for them elsewhere. You know, in the past, they could go to a geropsych unit. They could go to some of these places. They could have come to our facility sometimes. But with the regulatory environment the way it is, people are hesitant under the current regulations for nursing homes to take individuals that may have significant behaviors. And by that, I mean things like physical aggression, things like sometimes the medications that you're on. Under the nursing home regulations, we have a requirement to have people on as few of medications as possible. And the use of antipsychotics for people with dementia is strongly discouraged. And as they come to us from the hospital setting, we are looking at trying to figure out a way to stabilize people, but yet not use those types of medications. Especially in the nursing home environment, it's very difficult. And so it makes it more challenging. And so I think the services that were available in just general settings in the community, plus the lack of those geropsych units being available to individuals with significant behaviors and a dementia diagnosis.
So what is the State Department of Health Services doing about this situation?
DHS has made a strong commitment to helping to build a more dementia-capable system within the state of Wisconsin. And they have chosen to start that process really and to focus a lot on training. And when I say training, I'm not just talking about provider training. I'm talking about training to families, training to law enforcement, training to other types of ancillary services that might be out there. And they've started with really just trying to give people an overview of what that dementia diagnosis can mean, what types of dementia we might be talking about, and then what are some approaches to, you know, that system. And they've looked at things like the Silver Alert, which I think is a fairly new system to help with people who may wander and become lost. So I think that they've tried to focus on trying to promote that system. They've focused on the development of that training. And then they have some other work groups that are looking at things like challenging behaviors and those types of things, and crisis services, those things. But they have made a commitment to doing that with the recognition that there aren't additional resources available.
So it sounds like it's kind of a slow process.
That's correct.
And is that what we need now, is a slow process, or would loosening some regulations help and allow facilities like yours and others to take these patients mm-hmm. back again?
Mm-hmm. I think that we have talked to the department about what other types of regulations people, what types of settings we might develop. The challenge with the nursing home setting is that it's federally and state regulated, and the federal regulations are not going to move. We know it takes a long time to have a state regulation change, it even longer and more challenging for the federal. So I think the nursing home environment may not be the best setting for these types of individuals. So the state has been willing to discuss different types of options. And one of the things that, we have done, I have had the opportunity to meet with the department staff a few times about what some of those options might be. And again, it's going to be something different for every community. But if there was a different type of licensure that would allow, again, more ability to provide some of those services to individuals as they need them, that I think is a key component. So we are continuing to look at that. I mean, part of the community conversation in January will be to figure out what is it that we need so we can go back and ask them to maybe help us figure out how to regulate and license that.
So who is invited to this community conversation, and what are you hoping to accomplish?
A lot of people are invited. I think it seems to be growing every day. But it initially started with conversations that I had both at the state level, but also with both hospital systems. Dr. Thomas Lofi is our medical director. He is from the Mayo system. And then we've been talking with Gunderson staff, again, because of specific individual issues that we've had and referrals that we've had. So we've been talking with both systems for several months now and decided that getting a group of stakeholders together would be a very important piece of that process, starting that conversation. Who is invited would, again, be both hospital systems, a group of providers from the region. And when I say region, I'm including Vernon, Monroe, Trempealeau, and La Crosse counties. So we've invited all the county facilities because they typically have a little bit more of a mission to provide that care. We are inviting also some of the larger assisted living providers and nursing home providers in the area. We've invited the county human services directors, their aging departments, the ADRCs, so those types of staff, the mobile crisis teams, we've tried to have some representation from that. We're looking at wanting to have some law enforcement representation because, again, that's a key component. The vast majority of people that we're talking about are not living in the nursing home or assisted living setting. They're at home right now. So we want to make sure that we have some good representation from the advocacy groups like the Alzheimer's Association, and perhaps we really would like some actual family members and caregivers.
The idea being to come up with some sort of a regional suggestion for ways we can deal with this. I know La Crosse County has been quite creative in the last couple of decades and doing pilot programs that other regions of the state are not doing. Is that sort of the idea, is to come up with a pilot program that you can do and maybe test for the rest of the state?
I think that is something that the state would be very interested in if we could present to them some very concrete ideas. So, yes, part of that challenge or the agenda includes us figuring out what the issues are. Because, again, I know we're coming together because of crisis, but that's just a small piece of what's going on in terms of developing a dementia-capable community. So we'll start with that, figuring out what's working, what resources we have, how could we work together, and what do we want. And I think that's it. You always need to have the ask at the end.
How big is the problem in this region?
Well, I think that there's a growing number of individuals in our communities that have a diagnosis of dementia, that are struggling. Either they might be just diagnosed, newly diagnosed, figuring out what resources are available, all the way through that process where maybe they are really needing some additional supports. So I think it's a growing, you know, it's, again, as we get older, the chances of us all developing some kind of dementia grows as we get older. And so our communities, as they get older, also we're going to see that. But when we're talking about what really take up, I would say, the vast amount of people resources and financial resources, it is really still a very small number of people.
Is there anything else you want to add, Wanda?
I think what I would like to say is that La Crosse County as a community does know how to come together. They do know how to identify issues and come up with creative solutions. And I'm very confident that we will have a good start to this on January 26th.
Is this a problem in other states as well, or just Wisconsin?
This is a national issue.
Wanda Placecki is the administrator at Lakeview Health Center in West Salem. She's organizing a community conversation later this month to talk about the difficulty finding a healthcare facility for people with severe dementia. About 40 to 50 people are expected to attend the January 26th conversation that is not open to everyone. She says if someone wants to attend, they should contact her at Lakeview Health Center in West Salem. She spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up, we'll talk with a Minnesota law professor who's been an advocate for Native American women who are victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find a link to a pair of reports on Alzheimer's care in Wisconsin done by the Alzheimer's Challenging Behaviors Task Force. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.